to thank the leadership of the church for inviting me back. I'm going to try and keep it short this morning, and I hope that the thoughts that I share with you chime in with what you've been speaking about this morning. If you have your Bibles, would you please turn to Genesis chapter 3? Genesis chapter 3 from verse 9. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." Then to Adam he said, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat of it,' cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." It's a bit like a judge pronouncing sentence on someone who has been very, very, very naughty. And so when you sung that song this morning about Jesus having paid the price for it, I just thought that it so chimed in with what the Lord had laid on my heart. Life is a journey. And it's a bit like a game of snakes and ladders. And I've been thinking about snakes and ladders all week. Because as we go through life, there are ladders which we have to climb. But there aren't only the ladders which we have to climb. There were snakes waiting for us in various positions in that journey through life. Just in the same way that I think you get to number 96 on the snakes and ladders board, and there's a very long snake which has been I think it's a number 96. You can check when you go. And that snake has been placed there. And if you make the mistake of landing on number 96, you find yourself taken very quickly back to number, I think it's number 2 or number 13 or something. And then there's this frustrating process of working your way all the way back up to the top. And life is a bit like that at times. Because we see in the Garden of Eden, God preparing this place of beauty and blessing where he places the man and the woman whom he'd created. And everything that they needed, everything that they wanted was there in the garden. There was no poverty, there was no sickness, there was no need. But there was a snake. And as we go through life, that same mode of operation that you see in the Garden of Eden is what faces everyone who goes through life. The Bible says that the devil cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And I was wondering during the week, what kind of being is it whose whole agenda is to kill and to destroy? What kind of being is it whose whole agenda is to come with deception in order to derail your destiny? Those of you who've traveled to Africa or tropical countries will know of the mosquito. I wonder why Noah allowed the mosquito into the ark. It's on my list of questions to ask when I get to heaven. Why on earth, Noah, did you allow the mosquito in the ark? Because the mosquito is a very tiny insect who waits until you go to sleep at night. And then the mosquito comes and lands on you. And the mosquito selects a juicy part of you, maybe the thigh or an arm or a neck or something. And the mosquito then sucks your blood. Not only does the mosquito suck your blood, but in that process of piercing, it injects, it can inject a parasite into you. And that parasite can result in a disease called malaria, which can kill you. And the devil is a bit like that. He comes along uninvited, The Bible says that Jesus stands at the door and knocks. And if any man hears and opens the door, he'll come in. Devil doesn't operate that way. He just comes in uninvited. And he comes in with deception. And the whole point of the deception is to mess things up. That's what the Bible talks about: stealing, killing, and destroying. And that is what we see happening there in the Garden of Eden. In this place of beauty, in this place of bliss, in this place where there's no illness, no poverty, no confusion, the devil comes in and he comes in with subtlety and with deception. And he says to the woman, in verse 1, it says that the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" And the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die." And you see, there you see the serpent coming in and contradicting what God has said. And that is something that he has been doing throughout human history. Contradicting the clear, simple word of God. And he goes on to say that, "For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And we read about in that chapter about how they went ahead to eat of the fruit of the tree. They disobeyed God. They did what God had said they shouldn't do. Their eyes were open. They realized that they were naked. And then they decided to hide from God. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And as I thought about these things, I felt rather sad that man felt the need to hide himself from this God of love, from this God who had given him the best. This God who had given him the best of everything that he could. This God whose ideal for man was to place him in a place of blessing, a place of beauty, and a place of bliss. And because of man's disobedience, he finds himself hiding from this God of love. And that is the story of our world today, isn't it? Men and women hiding from a loving God. Men and women hiding from a God who wants the best for them. And the man said to the Lord, God was looking for them. I said, look, Adam, where are you? And the man says, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. And I hid myself. And you know, I think it is such a privilege for us to have a relationship with our Father God. A relationship which means that we no longer need to hide from Him. A relationship which means that we can call Him Father. That we can come into His presence on a Sunday, brothers and sisters in Christ, to meet with Him. But there is a world out there which is lost. There is a world out there which is hiding. There is a world out there which is dying. And we need to bring them in. Sometimes we can get a bit too comfortable in our little holy huddle. But there are brothers and sisters out there who, like Adam and Eve, are hiding from that God of love. Who, like Adam and Eve, are afraid to face up to this God who loves them, who created them, who cares for them, and who wants the best for them. I find verse 19 in particular very sobering. Says that in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. And every time I go to a funeral, I hope I'm not being too morbid this morning, but every time I go to a funeral and I see a casket being lowered into the grave, it reminds me of that verse. People say, whoa, what proof do you have about the existence of God? I say, well, Genesis chapter 3 verse 19 is a rather good starting point, isn't it? Because no one born of woman is going to evade Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 3 verse 19. No. And then God, the Bible says, God drove them out of the Garden of Eden and placed an angel with a flaming sword to guard the way to the tree of life. And so there we have it. Life is a journey. It starts at birth, and it ends, well, not necessarily at death, but for the purposes of this message, let's say it starts at birth and it ends at death, although there is life after death. But as we go through life, in the pursuit of our dreams and our visions and the things that we want to achieve in life, yes, there will be ladders. Yes, there will be snakes. Now, in the game, a lot is left to chance because you move according to the throw of the dice, don't you? So in a sense, you don't really have much chance as to where you land. Unless you're one of those people who is crafty and knows how to conjure up a particular number. But life has a way of presenting us with opportunities, which are the ladders. And we climb those ladders with the help of the Almighty and by the grace of God. But there are also those pitfalls. And what I want to leave with you this morning is the importance of being aware of those pitfalls in life, being aware of that which is sent to deceive us with the purpose of derailing our destiny. I remember when I was a child, Rothmans used to have an advert. It was an advert which stuck in my mind. And there was a picture of a man smoking a cigarette. And he said, the smooth way to go places. Little did we know, well, there wasn't all that much research in the day, but little did we know that things like smoking could cause lung cancer. And yet here we have an advert which says, the smooth way to go places. It's like the drug culture of today, where our young people are being told, well, just have a bit of cannabis, have a bit of whatever it is, and it'll take you into realms of ecstasy and whatever. And we don't get told about the way in which these things have an ability of causing an addiction from which many never actually escape. And it is that craftiness which we see in Genesis chapter 3, which is being played out in our world today. My prayer for all of us as we journey through life is that God will grant us the grace. God will grant us the strength. God will grant us the ability to avoid the snakes on the board of life. And we avoid them, and I close on this point, we avoid them by being sensitive to the voice and the prompting and the leading of God's Holy Spirit. Because Adam and Eve had heard the word of God. They knew what it was. And the devil came with a contrary instruction. And it was in paying attention to that contrary instruction. It was following that contrary word that they fell so catastrophically, and all of us with them. As if I can leave one thing with you today, can I implore you that as you go through life, that as you climb the ladders, as you pursue God's purpose for your life, be mindful of the fact that there is one out there whose whole intention is to derail destiny. And I pray for you today that your destiny will not be derailed. Amen. That your destiny will not be derailed. That the destiny of your children will not be derailed. And the destiny of your grandchildren will not be derailed. But you will keep your focus firmly fixed on Him. Who made you? On Him who wants the very best for you. For the one who died for us all. In Jesus' name.